Welcome to Biz Rocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for Biz Rocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Good morning, everyone. This is John Baker here with Biz Rocket Radio. And at Biz Rocket, this is a station where we get a chance to interview some of Atlanta's corporate executives and business owners, learn a little bit from their experiences, some of their challenges that they've had in the past, as well as some of their successes. Today, we've got a special guest coming and joining us via teleconference. Chris Sanders is the COO for Helios Corporation, which is a sports marketing organization. And Chris has got a colorful background, and we'll have him fill us in a little bit on that and what they do there and some of the experiences that he has had in the sports marketing arena. So, Chris, welcome on.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chris, maybe you could tell us, give us a little bit of background on you and kind of how you got to where you are now.
Yeah, thanks. No, my wife and I moved to Atlanta about 6 years ago. Previously, I grew up in Indiana and went to school at Indiana University, and then went to graduate school at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and started right out of school in sports marketing with USA Gymnastics, and spent about 4 years there, and was the director of properties there at USA Gymnastics, and which basically was covering television and marketing and sponsorship for the national team for the U.S. So it's the United States Gymnastics team, and was there about 4 years, and then got into college sports, which has always been a huge passion of mine, and was able to spend some time at Notre Dame, which is where my wife went to school. So that was an easy sell to her to get to move to South Bend, and then spent about a year and a half up there and with Host Communications, working in the marketing and sponsorship department at Notre Dame, and then moved to Lexington to run the collegiate division for Host Communications, which at the time had about 15 or 16, the rights of 15 or 16 universities. So we handled the marketing sponsorship and third-tier television for the athletic departments for about 15 or 16 schools. And then from there, we had an opportunity to move to Atlanta and be a part of Helios Partners. And at the time, you know, Helios had started in 2004. And when I joined in 2006, there was about three people, I guess, or four people that were involved with the company and was able to come down and be a part of something that was new and very entrepreneurial at the time. And that's what led me to Atlanta.
That's good stuff. Now, when you talked about the U.S. Gymnastics, were you involved with covering any of them during Olympics and some of the runs that they've made for the gold there?
Yeah, because it was interesting the tie back to Atlanta, because when I first started, the very first assignment that I had was we did a pre-Olympic and a post-Olympic tour with the women's team, which won the gold medal in Atlanta in 96. And if you remember the publicity that team generated, but yeah. The Magnificent Seven, as they called them. So it was a great experience for me. I mean, I hadn't had gymnastics in my background at all. I mean, I was more of a stick and ball sports as a kid, and so gymnastics was new and different to me. And but it was good in the fact that I was looking at it more from a business and a marketing standpoint versus an ex athlete. So, but yeah, no. So we were, and then in 2000. I left right after the Sydney Olympic Games, And the team didn't win the gold medal in Australia, but was able to take advantage of the success that the women's team had in 96.
And then I think that that experience may have helped you land the most important partner that you've got.
Yeah. My wife was a very competitive gymnast as a kid, and actually we met at USA Gymnastics, which was and then as I got promoted, she quickly realized that she wasn't going to work for me, and went off and did something else. So and knowing her as you do, you know, she still doesn't work for anybody.
Yeah, no, she does not work for anybody. That's for sure.
No,
that's for sure. So and then you got into doing some of the college sports stuff, and obviously Notre Dame and kind of those the schools up in that area. And you come down to Atlanta, and you get into the craze of the SEC. So how's that compared to covering and marketing for some of the collegiate sports up north?
Yeah, it is truly different. I mean, you know, growing up in Indiana, I mean, I was obviously followed Notre Dame football, and then you know, Indiana doesn't have much of a football program to brag about. So those in Indiana follow Notre Dame football, and then
right.
switch to Indiana during basketball season, but. I don't think people in the Midwest really truly appreciate the amount that the fans in for football in the South. I mean, it is truly different. And until you're down here and live it, you just don't understand it. I mean, I still try to explain it to guys that I grew up with that think they're football fans and think they follow their sports. Even at big time schools like Ohio State and Michigan, I mean, it's just different. And it's a year round deal down here.
Yeah, it's pretty intense coming from Maryland. Where you know, the Terps weren't, you know, I lived, I don't know, 20 minutes away from Bird Stadium, and the only time I ever went there was playing our state championship high school football. I played in that. That's the only time I ever went to Bird Stadium. So it's a little different down here in the SEC.
It is. I mean, I guess the other difference is, you know, growing up in Indiana from a basketball standpoint. I mean, you know, the high school gym we played in. Sat, you know, 7,500 people. So, you know, there's college gymnasiums down here and some pretty big schools that aren't that big. So, you know, the football in the South is certainly much bigger. But when you talk about basketball, especially high school basketball in Indiana, I mean, there's nothing like it. And so the fact that there was probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 gyms in high school gyms in Indiana that seat north of 7,000 people. So it's clearly, the weather is certainly a factor in there too. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you just can't go outside very much in the wintertime and in the Midwest, so you got to go inside and shoot hoops.
Yep. So tell us, getting back to the business side of things. So from a sports marketing arena, what kind of businesses are you typically working with? What's your typical clientele look like?
At Helios, and we do. There's really three things that we do. I mean, it's at the end of the day, not overly complicated. I mean, there's one part of our business that works with cities that are looking to host large sporting events, so events like the Olympic Games or World Cup, or even now, I mean, we're getting sort of a level below that with events like the World Swimming Championships, or the World Games or Pan American Games, and we will work for the city or for the organizing committee or for the bid committee, and literally take them through the entire process, the entire bid process. So, take the World Cup for example. I mean, we just recently got into that and worked with Rush on their successful World Cup bid for 2018, and so for 19 months leading up to the decision, we literally walked them through the entire process of bidding for the game. So the technical aspects, you know, our company's not overly or is not huge, so we have, you know, four or five people that's all they do, and then we'll hire specific subject matter experts from finance and security and transportation, architecture, etc., that will help us put together the plan. You know, bring in a PR firm to help us communicate the brand message of the city and what they're trying to accomplish, and Lily will walk the city or the country through that entire process. And that's probably from a financial standpoint is the biggest part of our company. And we were able to sort of carve out a niche in that area. There's not a lot of companies out there right now that are doing that. They're a specialist in that area that will handle, like I mentioned, the security aspect or the transportation aspect. But there are very few companies that are able to literally take a city or a country through the entire process. And so we've tried to consolidate that a little bit and be and differentiate ourselves from others than the fact that we're the one entity that you can hire, and we'll hire everybody else below us.
Right.
And like I said, that's the biggest part of our company. And then the second part is we'll work with corporate sponsors and help them everything from evaluating a potential sponsorship opportunity to negotiating the actual contract, and then at the end sort of activating the sponsorship rights that that they've acquired from a property. And then the third part is we'll actually help a property, say like the X Games or the Atlanta Tennis Championships or properties like that that will we will actually sell the sponsorships for them and try to drive revenue for the property.
So that's got you must have come across all sorts of good stories dealing with these corporations, countries, and sporting event organizations, dealing with athletes and coming across famous individuals. Any good stories from that experience?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's
you can say it on the air. You got to be able to say it on the air, though.
Yeah, I was going to say that limits what we can say, right? But no, I mean, I think part of the one of the best things about what we do, I think, is that it's at least something different every day. Whether it's a cultural difference in working with Russia's World Cup bid, and then hopping on the next calls with Pyeongchang, South Korea on their 2018 Winter Olympic bid. So to be able to understand the things that you need to do and should do culturally in each of those countries. Is obviously a major focus of ours. I mean, because it's a big part of it. I mean, when you're talking about developing a brand for a country or a city, and talking about an event of that size, it's very important that you operate appropriately in each market.
Right, right. What's your favorite group to work with? Out of those three, what have you found to be most enjoyable?
That's a good question, John. There's probably my background is more on the sales side, so. So I would say that the property representation where you're literally taking a property and trying to figure out a way to maximize revenue for that property from a sponsorship and commercial standpoint, mm-hmm. is probably the most enjoyable followed closely by the sponsorship consulting piece. I mean, because to be able to look at sport and I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, it is a marketing expense for them, right? So it's really trying to maximize the opportunity. I mean, the game's changed so much from 4 years ago. People would sponsor events or properties simply because you could get tickets and take your clients and things like that. But it's truly turned into finding a way to realize a return on the investment. And with the economy the way it is today, the pressures to do that is even greater than before.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. How has the change in the economy in the last 3 years or so impacted you guys? I mean, looking at your business model, you guys have increased staff fivefold over the last 5 years. Your profits look like they're, or at least from the bio, look like they're doing well. How have you been able to grow in this kind of an environment?
It's been tough. I mean, 2009, I mean, we had great years as many people did in 2007 and 2008, and 2009 was obviously tough. And for me, the biggest impact on us was the sponsorship consulting business, because especially in financial services categories and credit card categories and things like that, were really affected by the economy. Their marketing dollars, dried up. So obviously the consulting business there went down. I mean, the thing that really helped us a lot and made us really focus on the bid business, because a lot of that money, it was global, right? So it was so that was helpful, and then we were able to find some unique opportunities that were funded through the municipal governments of these places. So when you're talking about a Russia World Cup bid or the Pyeongchang South Korea Olympic bid, I mean, that is government funded entities where it's not relying on the corporate community to fund them. So I think we were able to, in 2009, really took a step back and tried to simplify our business and focus on three things that we talked about before. And I think that has allowed us to remain focused, true to our core, and continue to grow that way.
Is there anything that you'd point out that kind of separates you guys from other sports marketing agencies or groups?
There are a couple things I think that we try to do, and hopefully it comes true to our clients. Is the first is, again, back to the bid business. There are a few companies out there that have been able to consolidate the entire service of truly taking an entity through the entire bid process. I mean, there are so many things that go on in the year and a half or 2 years of a bid process, and we were able to, because of thankfully the success that we've had, have been able to identify key people that we bring on board with us. Now, not full-time people, but more on the independent contractor that puts together a pretty good team to where the client has one interface. So they interface with Helios, and then we were able to bring on the subject matter experts to help us in certain areas. And I think from a bid perspective, that clearly differentiates us from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
On the sponsorship consulting side, I would think that, you know, it's really trying to look at it differently. I mean, I mentioned, you know, the pressures to try to identify, the ROI in an investment from a sponsorship standpoint. I mean, it's really trying to find the intersection between sport and their brand. And so to be able to do that, you've got to look at it from the business standpoint. It's not because, you know, like years ago when the CMO or somebody would be a big fan of college sports and they would sponsor the University of Alabama, that doesn't work anymore.
So that's a change that's happened here recently, and obviously you've been doing this for 20 years or more. What are the biggest changes that you've seen in your business from the time you started back in the early 90s or so to now?
Yeah, again, I mean, I would point back to the fact that it's truly looked at more as, before I think you would have very small sport, you know, if you had somebody, and if you had a sports marketing department, it was very small. And now, when you're talking about some of the mega brands like a Pepsi or a Coke, I mean, you've got sports marketing departments, and this is what they focus on. I mean, you've got, in some companies, you have, you know, sports marketing departments, and then it gets even more specific from there. So you'll have, motorsports department, or you'll have an action sports division that will handle all the action sports relationships. So it's certainly become much more focused and business driven than before.
If you were looking at the overall business and getting an idea of people that might be sitting out there listening to this, saying, you know, hey, that's somebody that maybe I need to talk to. Who is it that would typically engage you guys in this type of business? Who is the person within an organization that might engage you?
Well, you got to kind of look at it from the different lines of business that we have. So, I mean, on the bid side, it's you generally have either a sports commission or somebody in the municipality of a city or country that's going to lead the bid effort. So it really will vary depending on the bid in the country. But it's generally a government official a lot of times that will engage us on the bid process. And then on sponsorship consulting, it's back to the CMO or vice president of marketing at that level that would engage us. And then from a property side, I mean, you have everybody from the somebody that actually runs the property, whether it be the president of a specific property or the sales and marketing VP at a certain property.
And in business this year, in terms of the market turmoil and things that are kind of going on with the economy, have you felt that yet as a business, or has that been kind of like what you saw in the 08 kind of 09 downturn didn't really impact you that much?
You know, it hasn't, and part of the reason is, I mean, if you look at our business, I mean, it's the bid piece and the property representation are probably the two biggest pieces of our business. So the consulting piece, frankly, still has never recovered. We have our base of clients, but I mean, as far as I don't know that that's recovered yet from the economic collapse in 08 and 09.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I think we're probably more prepared for it today than we were, but we haven't seen a drop off this year.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that goes back to, I think we're more prepared for it. I mean, again, I mean, we literally took a step back in 09 and said, okay, let's take 2010 and really create a foundation for growth and focus on 11 and 12. And I'm thankful that we did that because we literally simplified the business and said, okay, these are the three things that we're going to do, and we're going to stay true to our core and stay focused on what we're doing. I think it's paid off.
Great. Good stuff. What would you say is the most exciting part about your job, about the being in the kind of business that you're in?
I mean, just outside of the token love for the game kind of quote that I'd give you, but it is true. I mean, I truly enjoy the sports. I mean, the one thing that was interesting in college sports, and one of the reasons that I was excited for a change was I'm such a fan of college sports, and I was, you know, by being on the business side, it was challenging for me at times because the best example is in a person on our team will not be pleased with my comment, but if by representing, you know, the University of Kentucky and being an Indiana guy, I'd have to go and root for the University of Kentucky, which was challenging at times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think from my perspective now, there's something different every day. and whether it's working on a big piece of business or then turn around and I'm in New York now and going to meet with ESPN on helping them globalize their X Games franchise. So it's clearly something different every day, and I think that's the most exciting thing about what we do.
So have you met Sean White?
Yeah, I saw Sean in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Sean's been in the gym a little bit. He's a little buffed up.
Is he?
He's clearly working hard, yeah.
Living large. Well, he's living large, I would imagine, you know.
Yeah, it's
snowboarding,
it's a great property for us.
Yeah,
I mean, as you know, with your boys in the wakeboarding, I mean, maybe we'll try to get wakeboarding in the X Games sometime soon, so Jake and Gavin can be a participant in the X Games.
Come on, that you need to hook somebody up. You know, I'm not asking for a little. I'm just asking for more. You know, I just need something. A little love.
I was going to save that for a surprise, but maybe I'll try to drop that today in our meeting and see if we can't get wakeboarding in the X Games.
Man, come on. You know, Gavin.
It was at one time now, a few years ago.
Oh, in the X Games, they had it there.
Yeah,
man, they're doing some crazy stuff out there. I think they should need 1080s and starting to work on, double flips and stuff. It's getting pretty crazy.
Yeah, unfortunately for guys like us, the whole slalom skiers is kind of gone by the wayside. You know,
skiing around a buoy anymore. The kids out there are like, what you're doing? What you're skiing around a buoy? Why would you do that? I don't understand. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You don't jump over it or do, you know, a flippy tricky on it. I mean, what is that?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we're the old timers now.
I know. I had a buddy of mine who said he was trying to get up on two skis, and he was going to drop a ski as he was getting up. He tore his hamstring off of his buttocks.
Oh.
Tore it. Had to have it, like, surgically put back on. I'm like,
yeah.
Chris, are you serious? You actually did that? And he's like, yeah, I don't even know how that happened. I was like, well,
yeah, he'll never get back in the water again.
No, I don't think he'll be on any skis. His wife's like, are you serious? You just what? Are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, it kind of hurts a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
So anyway, I felt a little bit better with, you know, just a little bit of a sore back last time I went tumbling over a double wake jump, and my eyes practically rolled in the back of my head. But you know how it goes.
Yeah, it's only going to get harder for you as Gavin and Jay continue to excel. You're going to be challenged to do more things.
That's right. Come on, Dad, you can do a back roll. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
You may want to stick to driving the boat.
Yeah, I'm a very good driver. I can do that for sure. All right, so Chris, let's wrap up with a pearl of wisdom. So if for our listeners, what pearl of wisdom might you share from your business experiences?
That's a great question. You know, I think one thing that I think that we've tried to do, I mean, it just, you know, it goes back to the, not to pull out a little Teddy Roosevelt for you, but doing the right thing for the right reasons, and trusting that it'll work out in the end, I think is probably the best thing that I can come up with.
All right. Perfect. Well, Chris, we appreciate your time. I know you're traveling and running around a good bit. We appreciate you kind of linking in with us and joining us this morning. If anybody wanted to get in contact with you, is there an easy way to do that?
Yeah, the website has all of our information on there, or you can certainly feel free to email me direct, but our website is heliospartners.com, and all of our information is there, and that's probably the quickest way to find out information about us and our company.
Okay, so Helios is Helios Partners.com.
Partners.com. Yes,
right.
Sir.
Well, Chris, we appreciate again your time, and to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until next week, be safe.
No, thank you, Jeff.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.